Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast. Here's your host, Mark Murphy.
Okay, full disclosure, I am not a cyborg. I just was reminded of that again this week because I think it's the first time in about, it's over 3 years, that I got a freaking cold. I've got the worst head cold, so if I sound like I'm a little nasally, like tongue-in-line-in, yeah, that's why. Because, holy cow, my head feels like a bowling ball. Now, I got to tell you, there was a whole large head challenge that took place at Philadelphia Airport not that long ago with a guy named Gene Kang, known as the Curse of Kang, if you read the book Travel Unscripted. That's the guy, the character. And he's also, what is the guy's name from the James Bond who flings the bowler hat? What is his name? It'll come back to me. Oddjob. I used to call him Oddjob. And I don't think he took it very well. But I always thought the guy had a really big head. So right now my head feels like twice the size of Gene Kang's head. But we had a little dueling challenge. He would always say, dude, no way. Your head is definitely bigger than my head. And I wanted to basically get to a conclusion. Who had a bigger head, Gene Kang or Mark Murphy? And we were at the airport. We were getting ready to get on a flight to Lisbon. And I said, let's just do it right now. So we were looking for something that we could use to kind of put around to measure the circumference. And guess what? It turned out to be a belt. And then guess what? Yeah, we did it. And I think there was an error, but momentarily he took first prize for the smaller cranium. Now, fast forward, here I am. Gene's now working for a different organization. He doesn't get harassed about how big his head is, and my head feels like a freaking bowling ball because it's all stuffed up and congested. So that's me being a big baby, but also just randomly, I just thought of that as we started the podcast today. So I don't know if that has anything to do with travel other than we were measuring the circumference of our heads at Philadelphia International Airport prior to an international trip to Lisbon, Portugal to shoot video all over the country and also get on an AMBA Waterway ship and shoot video on that. From Porto up into Spain. So, I guess it ties back, but back to the cyborg thing. Sometimes, you know, as you're younger, you think you can just do anything. And then every once in a while, something happens and you go, oh man, I'm not a cyborg. And so I've come to that conclusion. Speaking of cyborgs, yeah, that British couple, I don't know if you saw the news, but they're definitely not cyborgs. In fact, they're 71 and 72, but you may have heard this story. It just broke that they were arrested for possessing 20 pounds of cocaine on a cruise ship in Lisbon, Portugal. So see how it connects up, Lisbon, Portugal? And that was last December. But now they're claiming they were tricked by a mysterious Jamaican businessman. Yeah, that's what they're saying. So, yep, 72-year-old Roger Clark and his wife, Sue, who's 71, claim they were completely unaware that there was more than $1 million worth of drugs found inside their four suitcases in their cabin aboard the Marco Polo cruise ship. So they're going with the, some Jamaican dude paid for my cruise, asked us to purchase exotic fruit, and instructed us to pick up empty cases from a middleman in St. Lucia. So that's what they're going with. Here's the problem. They were convicted of trafficking weed near Norway in 2010. They also made contact with drug trafficking organizations multiple times in the last 2 years, according to police. And here's the kicker. They're living off of $1,106 a month, but in a two-year period, they were able to spend $22,500 on luxury cruises. That's pretty crazy, right? How crazy is that? So you're making $1,100 in your pension, yet you are literally taking every last dime, nothing that would go towards rent or home or food or anything, and you're spending it all on these cruises. Now, of course, you couldn't cruise the world for $22,500 for 2 years. So that was just some vacations. And it sounds like they're using these vacations as a way to kind of be the daft older. Oh, we didn't know. We're just older people, this and that, which actually reminds me of a former employee. There's an employee who was he was telling me how sharp he was, how he had it all on the ball. And I hired the guy, and then it didn't really work out. And because I was out of the picture for a while, it took me about 8 months to kind of rectify the situation and get him out. And now he's, I thought I signed this contract, but, you know, I'm just an old guy. And did you read it? Well, I just assumed that that's what it was. Almost like a dithering old man, as opposed to this, you know, guy's going to go out, take the world on fire, everything else. So maybe his next job will be to get on cruise ships or who knows what and be a mumbling fool, because I think he could do that too. I think he'd be really good at that. But good luck with this couple. I think they're going to jail. And if you've got $1 million worth of cocaine, you may never get out of jail if you're 72 and 71. They could literally die in jail, which would suck for them, but that's why you don't become a drug runner, folks. Now, back here in the U.S., we have had a few incidents in national parks, and you all might have seen what happened at Yellowstone. So Yellowstone, somebody trespassed out by Old Faithful, I think it was about a month and a half ago or so. And then just in the past week, these two guys did the same thing. They ignored the no trespassing signs. They came off the boardwalk. They walked all the way out. They were basically over the opening taking pictures, which is really dumb and dangerous because you can get scalded because the water can be 250 degrees. So much so that there are people that have wandered off the boardwalks, and I've been to Yellowstone. If you haven't been, they've got designated areas, and you can see the water boiling in these springs, but they'll walk off, and they don't realize that even though the ground looks solid, sometimes it's just a real thin layer of clay, and they just go right through. Some bodies have been found completely dissolved down to the bones very quickly, and get recovered once they fall in. And over the years, I don't know, a couple dozen have died, but it's one of those things, you got to hold on to your kids. You don't let your kids' hands go because little ones can wander off and they're very adventuresome, and that's happened. And if you're an adult, don't be an idiot. So unfortunately, some of these folks have done that, and I don't know what they're thinking, but these guys got away with it in the sense that nothing bad happened, but they've been reported, and we don't know who they are by name, but it doesn't really matter. It's just a PSA, public service announcement for you all. So with that said, it gets down to taking the photos, trying to look great, you know, as you do the photos and all of that. You want people to see stuff and say, oh, man, look at me. I'm here at this thing. And they call them influencers, like Instagram influencers. And I think you all are very, very aware of that. This whole Instagram, you know, visibility, I'm special, look at what I did type of stuff. And taking that perfect shot is what they go for. But interesting enough, there is an Instagram influencer, and her name is Martina Tupi Saravia. She's from Buenos Aires in Argentina. And she has a big following, 315,000 followers. But very interesting, she had all these beautiful blue skies, beautiful clouds, you know, behind her in these wonderful places. And it turns out she was using an app that was taking the same background clouds, and everywhere she was around the world in multiple photos, the cloud arrangement stayed the same. And pretty soon people caught on to it and called her out on it. So they were like, whoa, hold on. Why? How can this be so perfect every time? Well, as it turns out, she was using an app that would put the clouds in. And since those same clouds kept showing up multiple photos taken in different places, she got called out. But guess what? While she's getting shamed for Photoshopping that stuff using the app, she then gets approached by the app company and they hire her to represent them. So now she's getting paid from the app company because she's created such a stir. Again, things happen in weird ways. When I started this company, Travel Alliance Media, it was a totally different concept and it evolved over time. And you had to evolve to adjust to things. Well, she adjusted and she literally took lemons and turned it into lemonade, which is pretty crazy. Now, excuse my sniffling, but influencers overall, this is what's really interesting about influencers. I've mentioned this before, but it really bears repeating. Influencers are folks that will be invited because they have a following to spend some time at a resort or in a destination. You know, usually it's a hotel that'll invite them down and they'll take these like perfect shots, these very staged shots. Oh, they're so lovey-dovey. Look, they're kissing in the sky pool and you can take a picture of it and it's so cool as they hold their breath. Like, cause like, that's what everybody freaking does. You know, I get in there with my wife, you know, I go underwater, we hold our breath and we try to make out. No. Nobody does that, but it makes for an Instagrammable photo. The thing with influencers, though, which I find very funny, is these so-called travel influencers are the first ones that jump out of the boat when the waves get more than 6 inches high. Like, I got to get out of here, man. I'm not going there. Case in point, Mexico. So when Mexico had a barrage of negative news, we were scheduled to shoot a bunch of properties and the company we were doing it for wanted us to work with a number of different influencers. Some didn't show up because they said, it's too dangerous. I'm not coming. And that's when I started thinking, this is several years ago, probably almost 4 years ago. I was thinking to myself, man, these influencers are such a joke. The real influencers are travel agents. They're going down to places like right now, the Dominican Republic, reporting on it through social media, telling everybody that everything's fine. They're not going, oh my God, it's too dangerous, because they know better than that. And I just saw with Apple Vacations and Apple Leisure Group, they did their whole Ascend conference the last few days. I was supposed to get over there, but I got sick as a dog and I don't get everybody else sick. So I've not been in the office except for today for a couple of hours and I missed the whole damn thing. However, Teresa Norton was there reporting on it and they basically said, you know, travel agents are a big part of why we're getting back on track in the case of the DR, why they got back on track in Mexico. But it's been a rough go for any business that has business in Mexico and in this case, the Dominican Republic for that. And I don't see influencers racing to get to the Dominican Republic. In fact, we've seen just the opposite. These so-called Instagram influencers, they're nowhere to be found right now in the Dominican Republic. So it is kind of interesting. And that's also interesting when there are certain organizations in the travel industry, and I'm not going to call them out, but you probably, if you work in the industry, you know what I'm talking about. But there are organizations that will take credit for increasing sales when the rising tide is lifting everyone's boat, because they're like, oh, look, we increased your sales 10%. But you hear crickets right now when it comes to the Dominican Republic. You heard crickets when it comes to Mexico. You heard crickets after the Paris bombings. You heard crickets after the Brussels bombings. You heard crickets after the Madrid and London bombings, and on and on and on and on and on. Why? Because they can't move the needle. They can't get their, quote, people to make it happen. Just like influencers can't be found. However, when things are good, oh yeah, I'm there. I'm gonna help you. You know, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna get, you know, we take credit for everything that happens. You know, we're doing it all for you. You know, look at how great we are. But it's so disingenuous. It's ridiculous. And you know, another destination right now that really is doing great in terms of its physical infrastructure, but because of the media, you would think nobody can go there, is the Bahamas. The Bahamas is doing exceptionally well. The hurricane that, you know, devastated Freeport and Abaco, that hurricane did not touch basically or affect 80 to 90% of the resorts and destinations that people go to in the Bahamas regularly. So it's really important to have a map out and just look where Freeport is and then go down and look where Nassau is. You know, ask yourself, in between, you've got those private islands from the various cruise lines that are all up and running for the most part right now. So even though they're still farther north and closer to where things happened, they were open for business very quickly because, again, things bounce back even if they're affected very quickly. And if you want to help the destination, you should really say, hey, I'm going to plan a trip there. So plan a trip to the Bahamas, plan a trip to the Dominican Republic. That's a great way to support a destination with your tourism dollars that could really use it. And right now I am working on a project that I'm going to put out there hopefully next week. We're working on final designs, but they're going to be shirts that'll say travel forward for the Bahamas. And they're really cool. And we'll be sending a link out to folks that have opted into TravelPulse.com. So if you're a consumer, opt into TravelPulse.com as a user. If you're a travel agent, certainly opt in because, you know, you're a core audience and we have millions of consumers that come as well. So we're going to put that out there and we're going to take every dollar of profit from the sale of those shirts and we're going to put it towards the Bahamas Red Cross. So you can do something really good. You can get a really cool shirt that supports the Bahamas. It's super comfortable, sort of that wicking material, you know, the kind that you just like love to hang out in. Like my wife spends all day in freaking the what do you call it, the Lululemon type of stuff, that kind of stuff. It's like a really nice shirt. And you're doing something something good. And they're going to come in around $27 or $28 for the shirt. And again, every dollar of profit will go to support the Bahamas. So stay tuned for that because that's coming sooner versus later, hopefully next week because I'm looking at designs today. And then I've got a few other things that are coming down the pike. So I may have mentioned that we did a little RV getaway to Cape May, then took the ferry from Cape May to Lewis, Delaware, spent a couple of days down at Cape Henlopen again, cruised over to Rehoboth Beach and got busted on my scooter, like I told you. But the reason I bring it up again is because these short getaways where you can get away for a few days here and there, I'm finding that we're doing that, and we just did it at Hershey Park over last weekend. We hopped in the RV. It was about 2 hours and 10 minutes from where I live here. We stayed at the Hershey Park Camping Resort. We went into the town. I have not been, I think it's called Chocolate Way. We have not been to Hershey since our kids were babies, probably 15, 16 years ago. And it's really changed. This great little downtown area, some great new restaurants. So I would certainly encourage you to go there and visit for a weekend getaway because the park, I think until the end of October, is open on the weekends and then it shuts for the winter. So that quick getaways closer to home. I think it cost us $59 to park at the camping resort on the Sunday night. And on the Saturday, it was more expensive because the RV show was in town. Now that was interesting because you get like a cross of everybody in America at an RV show. I mean, you have some people looking to buy $1 million RVs and you got people looking to buy little trailers and everything in between. So it's a melting pot to say the least. It's very interesting. And I could do a whole stand-up routine on that, but I'm not going to bring that here today, but I think I'll reserve that for a future podcast. Now, in the meantime, we're going to be getting on the road in about the third week of October. That's the next road trip we're going to take because in the meantime, I'm heading down to Puerto Vallarta and Riviera Nayarit. And believe it or not, I've been to Mexico. I can't even count how many times. Never been to Puerto Vallarta. And we've gotten hired to go down there, shoot video, and create great content around the destination. I'm going to discover it and bring it to you as I discover it. So it's going to be awesome. And we'll be down there with Chris Hunt and his sidekick, Maria. They're my crew. And we're going to have a great time. And that's coming up, I think, the second week of October. And then the third week, I'll be doing a satellite media tour that's going to cover Dominican Republic. And if you don't know what a satellite media tour is, it's like TV interviews and radio interviews spread over 4 or 5 hours across the country where I sit in front of a camera and bang out 25, let's say, interviews, and it rolls from one interview to the next, and then you just have to know when you get like a 5-minute break to use the restroom, because a lot of times the shows are live, or they're set up and they're being taped, but they're taped as if they're live, if you follow me. So you can't miss your hit, as they call it. So I'll be doing that. And that's going to be pretty cool because we're going to go out to 12 to 20 million consumers in terms of total reach and set the record straight on the Dominican Republic. And we've got a partner with the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Punta Cana. Allianz Travel Insurance, Global Assistance, will be another partner. And we have the folks from Apple Leisure Group, who are going to be another partner as well. So we're excited about it. And it's just great support for the industry. And those brands are truly supporting the efforts to get people back to the Dominican Republic. As part of that, we're probably going to cover, we're thinking about covering, like, let's say the Secrets, Puerto Vallarta, and it's combined with the Now property. They're two properties together, but separate brands. We're tentatively scheduled to shoot those. So, you know, we might be using some of that footage along with footage we shot in the DR. So yeah, exciting times. So, oh, here comes the cough. Yeah, I just had to give a loud cough. So I had to almost mute myself. Hopefully you didn't have to hear that. But now that we're wrapping up here, I want to give you a final tip. And it has to do with packing. Because as we go further into the fall and people start planning their holiday vacations, I've gotten better and better at packing. So I'm going to give you some of the things that I do. I used to bring multiple pairs of pants or whatnot and, you know, lots of different stuff. And what's interesting is things like a t-shirt layered with, depending on where you're going, obviously, layered with, let's say, a flannel. You could have a couple of different flannels. You could have a couple of different colored t-shirts. You could have jeans. Don't bring a bunch of shoes because you tend not to wear them. I have to bring workout shoes because I have to work out while I'm traveling. But other than that, I try to stick with a pair of comfortable shoes that I obviously wear on the plane. And the only thing that'll go in my bag are my running shoes, which I can compress down. Now, that is not what most people do. Most people bring multiple pairs of shoes. Ladies, I'm talking to you. And most of them stay in your bag. If you have something that can be adaptable to different outfits or stick to a certain color scheme, stick to earth tones, stick to different things that mix and match well, and you can change up the look dramatically, but not have to pack like you're going away on a 6-month adventure. Mom of Murphs, are you listening? So the other thing you want to do is if you're going on a vacation, I used to bring my iPad, my phone, and my computer. The phones are so good now, and the battery life is so good, especially if you're getting one of the new iPhone 11s, the Pro models. The one I'm looking at has 5 hours more battery life than my current one. I think I can stream 20 hours of video. And by the way, a lot of the airlines have those plug-in outlets now, those USB ports. So you really don't have an excuse to run out of power or have to use something else. I tend to leave my iPad at home these days because I can watch movies on my phone. And sure, it's not a huge screen, but it's big enough. And that saves me and my back and my knees and my hips a lot of pain because I don't have to carry that extra weight. And you may say, well, the iPad's so thin, it's not that big a deal. If you got a rollerboard, I get it. But again, it's about simplifying your life. So definitely do that. And if you feel like, oh man, I might have to do some work at some point, then use your phone with a little stand and you can get a case with a stand and then bring a Bluetooth keyboard, like a flat Bluetooth keyboard that can sync with your phone. And then if you have to reply to email, et cetera, and you don't want to do it with your thumbs, you're all set. Make sure that you take pictures of your passport or any other relevant ID and you keep a copy of that on your phone. So just in case something gets lost. Also, print out a copy and make a hard copy that you just put inside your luggage. So you've got things, you know, something in your luggage, something in your wallet or purse, on your phone in terms of cameras. And with iCloud, let's say you lose your phone. Well, with iCloud, you're up in the cloud. You can access that ID, at least the picture of it, from the cloud. And so you're never without access to prove who you are. The other thing is, and I've been doing this for a long time. I rarely eat the airline food and I rarely buy food in the airport because it's such a ripoff. So if you're in a hurry, and a lot of times I am, then you're stuck with it. And I always will buy something beforehand, you can't bring the big liquids through security, so you're going to have to spend, you know, $4.50 for what would normally cost you $1.50 for a bottle of water. But why spend $25 or $30 for a sandwich and a water and chips when you can bring your own stuff and have no issue with going through security? I'd highly, highly recommend you do that and very much try to keep everything in a single bag so that you're not, you know, so you just bring it in your carry-on. So you're not getting whacked because most airlines will not charge for carry-on and you're not getting whacked with the baggage fees. So you're saving there. You can carry the food in a separate personal bag, like a backpack or something, because you're allowed the two items, a personal item. I carry a backpack and I carry a rollerboard and I'm good to go. And worst case scenario, the flight's full. I got to do a gate check. Doesn't cost me anything. So that's your final tip. If you get through security and you have your bag and you can't get it on the plane, they can't charge you for it. So you save money again there. So that's it for this week. I'll be back next week. And then it looks like the following week off to Puerto Vallarta and Riviera Nayarit. Until then, speak to you.